Moving right along in Maseches Rosh Hashanah in the third parak, and today's chabura is going to be on the sugya on Daf Chavches about the very important sugya of mitzvos trichos kavana. So we have the Gemara where we're told that shochalei labu deshmuel kafu v'achol matzah yatzah. If somebody forces somebody else to eat the matzah, and obviously I'm not having kavana to be mekayim my mitzvah in such a case, so the Gemara seems to say that I would perform my mitzvah even though I was forced to do so without thinking about it at all. And says the Gemara, from here we can learn, Amar Rava, from here we learn, Zosomeres hatokeh l'shir yatzah. If somebody is blowing the shofar, having no intention at all to perform the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah, I'm doing it only because I happen to like the sounds of the way the shofar sounds. So the Gemara says, we would assume that you would be yotzeh. Why? Because mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. One does not have to have in mind when performing the mitzvah in order to actually have a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us a story about Rab Zeira. The Gemara says that Rab Zeira, when he would see the person who was the Baal Tokeya, who was designated as the person to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, he went over to him specifically and he said, Ichaben v'takali, I want you to go ahead and have in mind specifically that you're going to be motzi me in the mitzvah. And the Gemara says, you see from here, that kavanas mashmiah bai, that you need that the person who is being the Baal Tokeya should have in mind for those who he is being motzi. And the question is, how exactly to understand this Gemara? The Rishonim have a big disagreement as to what Rab Zeira means to say. Does Rab Zeira mean to disagree? And Rab Zeira means to say that you thought mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana. You thought you don't have to have in mind when you're performing a mitzvah, and that's why if you stuff the matzah down your mouth, you're going to perform the mitzvah anyway. And that's why even if you're blowing the shofar just for fun, you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah anyway. And Rab Zeira comes along and says, not true. Mitzvahs do need kavana. And that's why Rab Zeira went along and he told the Baal Tokeya, you better make sure to have me in mind. Is that what Rab Zeira means to say, that mitzvahs trichas kavana? Or does Rab Zeira mean to say something totally different? Perhaps he agrees that mitzvahs ain't trichas kavana. You're right. Mitzvahs, you don't have to think about it. Hatokeya lushir is yotze. And if somebody goes ahead and kafa v'achal matzah, also yotze. So what does the Gemara mean to say that Rab Zeira went over to him specifically and said, make sure you have in mind when you blow the shofar for me? So the Rishonim explained, perhaps what it means is that it's different when you're having somebody be motzi somebody else. You need kavanas hamotzi acherim yidei chavasam. When you're the one who's being the Baal Tokeya for me, that's not about mitzvah trichas kavana or not. Just in order to have a relationship between the Baal Tokeya and those who are listening, you have to make sure that the Baal Tokeya has in mind for those who are being yotze the mitzvah with him. This is the machlokas and the Rishonim, exactly how to read our Gemara. Whether or not Rab Zeira is of the opinion that mitzvah trichas kavana, or perhaps he's saying a totally unrelated halacha at all. There's a very problematic Rambam, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Perak Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, Kala shomea bracha min habrachas metchilasa v'ad sofa. If I hear a bracha from somebody else, Kiddush, Friday night, I listen by the table, one person's making Kiddush, everyone is listening along, v'niskavein latzeis ba yidei chovaso, and I have in mind that I want to fulfill my obligation, Yatza, I'm going to be mekayim my mitzvah, afal pi shelo ana amen. Says the Rambam, even if I don't answer amen, I'm yotze my chiyuv of kiddush, because I had in mind to be yotze with this person. Now the Rambam conveniently leaves out, what about the one who's making the kiddush? The Rambam doesn't say that the one who's making the kiddush also has to have in mind to be motzi those who are around the table. For some reason the Rambam doesn't say that, even though in Hilchos Shofar, when he's about the Baal Tokeya blowing shofar for everybody, he writes specifically that you need to have kavanas shomea umashmiya. So this Rambam is a very difficult Rambam to make sense out of. How do we understand, basically the crux of it is, how do we understand our Gemara? Is Rab Zeira teaching us a new halacha, that when you have a relationship between a tokeya and a shomea, they actually have to have in mind for one another, because that's the only way to have a connection between the two of them while doing the mitzvah? Or is Rab Zeira saying the very old halacha, that mitzvos tzrichos kavana? We have a Gemara in Psachim Daf Ches where the Gemara talks about the sugya of Shluchei Mitzvah Einam Nizokin. So the Gemara has a whole bunch of qualifications, when the rule applies, when the rule does not apply, and basically the Gemara there talks about the following. The Gemara says, what's the halacha when you have somebody who's going to be Bodek Chametz in a little crack in the wall, tiny little hole in the wall, and there happen to be little akravim there. Sometimes there are rodents that pass by, and you could get a poisonous bite from it. So should we assume that you have a chiv to go and do the bedika in such a hole? Or do you say, no, you don't have an obligation because it's a sakana, you might get hurt, you might get bitten? Well, says the Gemara, Shluchei Mitzvah Einan Nizokin, don't you know the rule? Why shouldn't we say you have an obligation to go ahead and perform the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, even in the little hole where the mice might be running around and you're going to get a poisonous snake bite or whatever it is, because shluchei mitzvah ain't nizokin. So the Gemara says, no, maybe you should say, well, my intention when I'm going and doing the bedikas chametz in that little hole is not a pure intention. Because every once in a while throughout the year, we drop things in the little holes, and we assume that once a year we're going to go clean them out. So when I go bend down to the floor and I pick out my chametz from the little hole in the crack in the wall, I'm not only having in mind that I want to be mekayim the mitzvah bedikas chametz, I also have in mind that I want to clean out all the needles that fell there and all the junk that fell during the year, so it's good for me also. So the Gemara has a suffix, should I assume that that still be considered a mitzvah, and therefore we should apply the principle of shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin, or do you say no, once you involved your own ulterior motives, it no longer is considered a mitzvah, and now we would no longer apply the principle of shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. This is a discussion the Gemara has, and the Gemara brings a proof from the halacha of somebody who gives tzedakah. So I want to give tzedakah to an ani, but I say I want to give it on the condition that the person who's a chola in my family should now get better, or on the condition that person who needs a shidduch will now get married. So you have ulterior motives. You want to give the tzedakah, but you also want to do it for another reason. So the Gemara says these two things would seem to be similar, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that we can say shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin even in a case like that. Even in a case where a person might have ulterior motives, we still assume you would be able to rely on shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin. However, what's clear from the Gemara is, if I have no intent for the mitzvah at all, if I only have intent to go ahead and clear out the needles and all the junk that fell in there, and agav, it just so happens to be that I was mekayim my mitzvah bedikas chametz also, the Gemara seems to be clear that I would not fulfill my obligation of bedikas chametz. Now the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, points out that Gemara that has that whole discussion there should be totally in our discussion. Do you hold, bottom line, that mitzvah trichos kavana, or do you say not? So that basically would play into that sugya there as well. Shluchei mitzvah ein nizokin, the Gemara says, is when you're performing a mitzvah. But what if I don't have in mind at all to perform a mitzvah? What if I only have in mind that I want to clear out the junk from there? It just so happens to be, as I'm doing that, I also do the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, but do I actually consider that to be a mitzvah in the end of the day or not? Says the Beis Yitzchak, that should be something that's based on our Gemara in determining whether we assume that you need to have kavana when you're performing a mitzvah or not. So, as we mentioned, the Rishonim disagree how exactly to understand Rav Zeira's statement in our Gemara. What exactly did Rav Zeira mean? Did Rav Zeira, when he told the Baal Tokeya to have him in mind when he's blowing the shofar, did Rav Zeira mean to say that mitzvah strichas kavana? Or does Rav Zeira mean a totally separate, unrelated halacha that you need to have some sort of relationship between the Tokeya and the Shomeya? And that's why he went out of his way to say that you should have me in mind. So, halacha lamaisa, this is also a major, major machlokas harishonim. The Rishonim disagree whether or not mitzvah srichas kavana or not, and the Mechaber writes in our Achaim Simon Samach as follows, Yesh Omer, some say she'ein mitzvah srichas kavana. Some say simply, mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. And the whole statement of Rav Zeira in the Gemara telling the Baal Tokeya to have him in mind was just that you need to have kavanas hamashmiya, nothing to do with mitzvah srichas kavana. However, says the Mechaber, Yesh Omerim, there are some who say that mitzvahs aren't srichas kavana. Latzeis ba'asiyas osa mitzvah. Again, the Mechaber here quotes both Deus and the Rishonim exactly what it means. Do we have mitzvah srichas kavana or not? V'chein halacha. So the Rambam, I'm sorry, the Mechaber paskins, this is the way we paskin mitzvah srichas kavana. So now there's a further machlokas. What exactly does the Mechaber mean? Does the Mechaber mean to say that mitzvah srichas kavana l'chumra, just because we have a suffix, we don't know like which day in the Rishonim we paskin? Some Rishonim, mitzvah, some say mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. So because you're not sure, therefore the Rambam says l'chumra, I'm sorry, therefore the Mechaber says l'chumra, you should go ahead and do it anyway. Or does he mean over here only b'toras, I'm sorry, does he mean b'toras vaday? No, we paskin bottom line that mitzvah srichas kavana, and if you don't have kavana at all, you are not going to perform the mitzvah. This is a major, major machlokas in the Rishonim. And the Magen Avraham, I'm sorry, in the Achronim and the Nosek Kelem on Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, as quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, comes down to the maskana that the rule goes as follows. Really, the Mechaber meant to say it's a sveka d'dina. We don't know if mitzvah srichas kavana or if mitzvah ain't srichas kavana. And therefore, the Mechaber says you should be machmir. However, we have a right to say that you should only have to be machmir by a suffik d'araisa when you have a mitzvah d'araisa. But where you have a mitzvah d'rabanan, we don't have to be machmir. So that's the bottom line that the Radvaz writes. By any mitzvah d'araisa, a person has to have in mind mitzvah srichas kavana. But by a mitzvah midrabanan, even if a person does it without kavana, you would fulfill your obligation of the mitzvah, regardless of the kavana or not. So that's basically the bottom line in Shulchan Aruch. But let's back up. Before we get to the psak, and before we get to the machlokas harishonim, and before we get to explaining what exactly the mechaber meant in his psak, there's a much more fundamental question, and that is, where does this whole concept, this whole idea of mitzvah srichas kavana, where does it come from? What is the source in halacha? What is the source in the Torah? Is this a mitzvah d'araisa? Is it a din d'rabanan? This is something that is a very important question. So the Levush, there on Simon Samach, where the Mechaber is, the Levush there says as follows. Kaimalan mitzvah srichas kavana. The Levush says that the Mechaber comes to the maskana that we hold mitzvahs are srichas kavana. A person has to have in mind to perform the mitzvah. If you don't have in mind, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Kidi alfina mikra lekaman simen tafkuf peites. The Levush says, like we learn from a pasuk in simen tafkuf peites later on in Shulchan Aruch. Look over there, and you'll see it. Kelomar says the Levush, b'sheyasa hamitzvos, when a person is performing the mitzvah, tzarech sheyachavein latzeis ba'asiyas osa hamitzvah. So you have to have in mind as you're shaking the lulav. Now I'm performing the mitzvah Hashem of shaking the lulav. That's what the Levush says, and he tells you to look in simen tafkuf peites where he discusses where the source is for this halacha. Prima Gadim right away jumps on the Levush there, in Simon Samach, and he says, I don't know what he's talking about. He says, I looked in Simon Tavkuf Peites, I followed the trail, I did what I was supposed to, I did my homework, and he doesn't say anything. So I don't know what he's talking about. He says, we learned from a pasuk, Simon Tavkuf Peites, and in fact, if you look there, the Levush doesn't say anything. Says the Prima Gadim, Ka'es, Lo matzasi imin atara, mitzvahs da'araisa tzrichas kavana omid rabbanan. And now I'm stuck. I don't know. What's the bottom line? Should we assume that this is a halacha midaraisa? Should we assume it's a halacha only midarabanan? And the Levush is not the only one. Other achronim have the same suffix. The Ara derabanan, which is the sefer that always discusses every halacha, whether it's daraisa derabanan, very old sefer. So the Ara derabanan also has nistapakti bidin mitzvah srichas kavana. Imu minatar midarabanan. Should we assume this is a din daraisa or a din derabanan? Ki ein zeicha ledaber zebetorah sheitztarchu kavana lemitzvahs. Who ever heard? Which pasuk can you point to that says you have to have kavana when you're performing a mitzvah? I don't know. And therefore he says, Imkein, Efsher Shafila Misha Sover, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, Eina Ela Midrabanan. Even if you assume that the Psak is Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, maybe that's only a requirement Midrabanan. So you see, the Achronim are very bothered by this, and they don't know, like the Levush, the Prima Gadim, or the Rabbanan, nobody knows what's the source of the halacha, and whether or not the halacha is the Raisa Derabanan. We, in our generation, are fortunate that we've uncovered a lot of Kisveyad. So there was a sefer, a Ksaviyad of Rabbeinu Yonah that was printed by Machon Yerushalayim, and there Rabbeinu Yonah weighs in on the issue. Rabbeinu Yonah writes as follows. Af agav d'sfir leder Rav Huna mitzvah srichas kavana. Even our Gemara says that Rav Huna tells us that mitzvah srichas kavana mikamakum kvar nafik veimin haTorah. Yes, it's a nice thing to have kavana. That's only din d'rabbanan. Mikamakum, says Rabbeinu Yonah, kvar nafik veimin haTorah. I already perform my obligation midaraisa. This is a later rabbinic decree that you also have to have kavana while you're performing the mitzvah. But strictly speaking, on a level of daraisa, there's no reason to have kavana at all. Afal pi shalonas kavin latzeis, I still have performed my mitzvah, says Rabbeinu Yonah. And therefore, he comes to the conclusion that this whole halacha that our Gemara is discussing is only a din midarabanan. Now, the B'nai Yisaschar has a sefer on sefer mitzvahs called the Derech Pekudecha. My father's a big fan of the Derech Pekudecha. And there, he also weighs in on the issue whether or not it's deraisa derabanan. And he writes a nafkamina as follows. He has the following nafkamina. He says, the Prima Gadim, well, you say, what's the difference? Mitzvah srichas kavana deraisa derabanan. Either way, you have to have kavana. Either you have to have kavana midaraisa or kavana midarabanan. So who cares? He says the following, a very sharp nafkamina. He says, the Prima Gadim has a suffix as follows. We find every so often in halacha that there's one way that you can perform the mitzvah midaraisa. However, the Chacham came along and said, there's a different way you have to perform it. For example, the Chachamim said, even though midaraisa, you're allowed to use any kind of branches or wood or anything to put on the schach of your sukkah. The Chachamim said, midrabanan ein misachachim b'nesarim. You're not allowed to use real wide beams as your schach. Exerim midrabanan. So the Prima Gadim wants to know, what if a person goes ahead and sits in a sukkah that uses those nesarim, those beams? What do you say? Did I perform my mitzvah of sukkah or not? Did I perform a mitzvah of sukkah or not? Or you take, for example, we're told that you're only allowed to sit in a sukkah that's a certain size, if it fits Rosh HaRuvah v'Shulchanah. What if I sit in a sukkah that's smaller than that size? So midaraisa I might be mekayim mitzvah. Midrabbanan, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, let's say a wrong example. The Gemara says, let's say shulchanah b'soch habayis. Let's say you have somebody who's sitting in a sukkah and they put the table inside the house. And every time I want something to eat, I go and I take it from the table. Says the Gemara, the Chacham said it's not a good idea because maybe you're going to come as you're leaning out of the sukkah to go get the food from the table in the house. Then you might go and eat outside of the sukkah. So if I go ahead and I set up a sukkah in such a way where I have the house has the table inside and my sukkah does not have the table, so I'm violating the Isra D'Rabbanan. Did I perform my mitzvah midaraisa of sukkah, or do you say I did nothing? So the Prima Gadim talks about this, and the Prima Gadim writes in the Psicha Koleles that the bottom line is as follows. If I did it ba'ones, if I didn't realize that that was the halacha, or I didn't realize that I was sitting in a sukkah that had these big beams that I wasn't supposed to use, so then you go back, you revert back to the original din d'araisa, that is, you can use that for schach as well, and you perform your mitzvah. However, if a person does it b'mezid, if a person specifically says, I don't care that the rabbi said I can't use this for my schach, and I don't care that the rabbi said you have to have the table inside of the sukkah, I'm going to do what I want. There says the Prima Gadim, the Chachamim have the right to come along and say, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah of sukkah at all. It's like you ate outside of the sukkah. So that's the Prima Gadim's bottom line. He says, when you have a din d'rabbanan that qualifies the way that you're supposed to perform a mitzvah midaraisa, if you violate the din d'rabbanan b'mezid, then you have not performed your mitzvah even on a level of d'raisa. But if you've only violated it ba'ones, he says, then in a case like that, you have performed your mitzvah. So says the B'nai Yisachar as follows. What happens in a case like this? We hold midaraisa that mitzvah striches kavana. I'm sorry, we hold midaraisa, maybe. You don't even need to have kavana. Perhaps this holding is a din d'rabbanan. The rabbis came along later and said, no, every time you do a mitzvah, you have to think about it. You have to understand what you're doing. Says the B'nai Yisachar, what if I'm running 1,000 errands today? I don't know where if I'm coming, if I'm going. I have my kids running all over the place. My head is all over. So I'm an onus. When I perform a mitzvah and I don't think about it, I'm an onus. So what would Chazal say in a case like that? Would Chazal say in a case like that, it's as if you have performed your mitzvah? Or would Chazal say in a case like that, no. We said the only way to perform a mitzvah is if you're thinking about it. And if you don't think about it, then it's as if you have not performed the mitzvah at all. So if you're an anus, so we always say the rule is that an anus is an anus, and that's it. But if this is a requirement midaraisa that mitzvah striches kavana, then anus doesn't make a difference. It's as if you haven't performed the mitzvah at all. That's the nafkamina that the B'nai Yisachar says. Is that clear? Yeah, nafkamina, we'd have to do the mitzvah again. Again, if you say mitzvah striches kavana is a din d'araisa, it's a requirement midaraisa that that's the only way to perform the mitzvah, then if you didn't think about it, you got to go do it again. If you say it's only a requirement midirabbanan, says the B'nai Yisachar, then we go to back to the regular rules. If I don't follow the requirement midirabbanan, b'mezid, I say, you know what, the rabbi said I'm supposed to think, but I'm not going to think while I do it. So in a case like that, you have to do the mitzvah again. If you say it's only an onus, I'm a scatterbrain, my head is all over the place, and I happen not to have thought about the mitzvah as I was doing it, then you say an onus is an onus, and the chachamim cannot come along and say that because of an onus, you have not performed your mitzvah. So that's the suffix that the B'nai Yisachar has. Yeah?
Why do you put this? Can there be a nachin about suffix there about the right to the kula? If you don't know if you have kavana?
Could be. Could be. So I thought this was a very fancy nafkamina, the B'nai Yisachar. So listen to the B'nai Yisachar. He writes, Ulodaiti. I don't understand why everyone is having such a hard time figuring out the mukkar, says the B'nai Yisachar. Yesh kama psukim b'Torah morim al zeh. We have a lot of psukim in Chumash that tell us about the mitzvah sriches kavana. He thinks it's a din d'araisa. For example, he says, b'parshas kisavo, hayom hazeh Hashem elokecha mitzavcha la'asos. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells you, you perform these mitzvahs. V'shamarta v'asisa osam, and you should go ahead and guard them and watch them and perform them. B'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Says the B'nai Yisachar, hine, why is the Torah sticking in? You should perform the mitzvahs b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. What does it mean? It should say, v'asisa, you should do it with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, with whatever it is. What do you mean, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha? What does my heart have to do with it? What does my nefesh have to do with it? Says the B'nai Yisachar, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha is coming to tell me that mitzvah striches kavana. Don't just perform the mitzvah. Don't just pick up the lulav. Don't just pick up the matzah. Don't just light the Hanukkah candles. You have to go ahead. All in. You have to have kavana. And from here he says we learn mitzvah striches kavana midarais. Others want to say we learn it from same kind of limud. But basically the B'nai Yisachar wants to argue that this is how we know it from a pasuk in Chumash. It's in fact a din d'araisa. And therefore If you weren't sure, or if you did not have kavana at the time when you went ahead and performed the mitzvah, you got to go back and do it again, because this is a part of the mitzvah that is a very essential part as long as you're performing any mitzvah that you do. The Karen Ara weighs in on this as well, and he says, "La matzasi ka'es sharish davar mizeh." He says, "I have not been able to locate a pasuk from which we learn this halacha." Who said that if you perform a mitzvah without thinking about it, that you have to do it again? I don't know where this comes from. Va'iran, he says, it would seem to me, we don't learn it from a pasuk, it's a svara. If you're not thinking about what you're doing, you're a misasik. It's like you're sleeping. You're eating the matzah while you're not thinking, it's like you're sleeping. What good are you? And anyone who's doing a mitzvah while they're misasik, that is not considered a mitzvah at all. Therefore, he says, maybe that's the reason why mitzvah strichas kavana, but in fact, we don't learn it from a pasuk. That's what the Karen Ara says. Now, other Achronim argue and say no. Other Achronim say, let's say the Stechemet quotes some Achronim that say as follows. Atu kavana ne'amara b'Torah, asiyahu d'ksiva. The Torah never says that you have to actually be mechavein. This was something that came along later. The Torah says, va'asisem, you have to do this, you have to do that, tells me exactly how to do the act. It doesn't tell me I have to think about it while I'm doing it. And therefore the Achronim say, kol she'asa mitzvah b'shleimusa v'tikuna yatza. As long as I went ahead and I performed the act the way I was supposed to, it doesn't matter whether you thought, whether you didn't think. Bottom line, we assume that you have performed your mitzvah obligation. So now let's talk about another very interesting issue. What would be the halacha, let's say, by mitzvah strichas kavana, we assume we're talking about achilas matzah, we're talking about shaking lulav, we're talking about blowing shofar. What would be the halacha by violating a los haseh in the Torah? What if a person violates a los haseh in the Torah without thinking about it? Do you say that the same way mitzvah strichas kavana in one direction, in order to perform a mitzvah you have to think, so too in order to violate an avera you also have to think? But if a person has no idea that they're not allowed to do this avera, maybe you'll say, that's not considered a violation of an avera. Mitzvah strichas kavana in the other direction. So the B'nai Yisrael in the next paragraph goes on to a discussion about that, and he says as follows, Teida yididi, digam belosa say, eni yotze bezulas hakavana. A person will not violate a law in the Torah without having kavana. Why? The same way that we say mitzvah strichas kavana in order to perform a mitzvah, so too, mitzvahs lo sase trichas kavana in order to violate a mitzvah. It's tremendous chiddush. But he says as follows. Chiyav kavana min haTorah. He says, I proved before that we learn that the makor, the source for having kavana by any mitzvah is from Vishamarta ve'asisa osamach al avavcha v'chal nafshecha. He says, look, bottom line, when the pasuk says Vishamarta ve'asisa, what's Vishamarta? Ve'asisa means mitzvah sase. Vishamarta is mitzvah lo sase. The same way by the mitzvah sase, a person has to have b'chal avavcha v'chal nafshecha, you have to think about it in order to perform your mitzvah. So too by Vishamarta, which is the lo sase, you're only going to be in violation if it's b'chal avavcha v'chal nafshecha. This is the tremendous chiddush that he quotes, and then he writes that he saw in Reb Chaim Vital, Ein adam mekayim mitzvos lo saseh ketikuna. The only time you violate a lo saseh is bevod dvar aveir l'yado, if I'm presented with an opportunity to violate an aveira, v'nimna v'lo asah mepnei mitzvos hamakom, and I choose not to do it because God told me not to do it. Not because you don't want to do it, but rather because I know that the Torah dictates that I shouldn't do it. And therefore he says, avol biyoshi v'batol. Let's say somebody's sitting around and they're not violating an aveira. Would you tell me that that's considered, you get points for that? You get nothing. You're not thinking about the Avera, you're not violating the Avera, and you're not trying not to violate it either. Therefore, he says in a case like that, that would not be considered fulfilling the mitzvahs lo saseh. Now, that is a tremendous chiddush. And he writes in the end as follows, Hine eichus hakavana hi gamken kamo mitzvah saseh. He says when it comes to a lo saseh, it's exactly parallel to an aseh. Ani maniach haso zo saasiyah. I have to say to myself, I am not violating this iser in the Torah, machmas mitzvahs yotzri alai b'taraso, because the Ribbono Shel Olam told me in his Halakha Torah that you are not allowed to do this activity. Mitzvah plonus uplonus uvezula zos hakavana. If you do not have that kavana while a avera opportunity comes your way, lo yatzri yidei chavasa. Get no points for that. It's an unbelievable chiddush. So by mitzvahs, there's a question whether or not we say mitzvah strichas kavana. By averus, there's a assumption of the Stechemet, I'm sorry, of the B'nai Sasra, that we should say, well, if you assume mitzvah tzrichas kavana, then averus also tzrichas kavana. Then the Stechemet goes crazy, he doesn't like it at all, he says, what are you talking about, how can you say such a thing? But it's a discussion in the Acharonim whether we should assume that by Averus, just like by mitzvahs, there's also a requirement of mitzvahs, of mitzvahs Riches Kavana. What about when you have a mitzvah that's performed b'sheva al tase? So this is a middle category. You have mitzvahs Riches Kavana on the one hand, that's an activity. Shofar matzah lulav. Then you have an Avera lo sase, which is passive. That's the discussion that the Bnei Yisachar has. What about a mitzvah b'sheva al tase? Well, on the one hand, it's a mitzvah sase. On the other hand, it's b'sheva al tase, so I'm not really doing anything. So the question is, where does that fall into the discussion? So the Minchas Chinuch talks about that, and he says, b'feirish, mitzvah aleph, says the Minchas Chinuch, yesh lomar, the mitzvah tzrichas kavana, the only time we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana is b'kum v'aseh. Only when you have a mitzvah that you're performing with an action. For example, shofar matzah lulav. However, he says, Avala mitzvah she'eno osa shum davar, but a mitzvah that I'm not doing anything, I'm just passive. In a case like that, he says, lo shayach kavana vein sarach kavana klal. So that's the first place the Minchas Chinuch has it. In the Ha'aris on the bottom of the Minchas Chinuch, they send you 9 mitzvahs later, and they say in mitzvahs, tashbisu, the famous suffix of the Minchas Chinuch is, do I have an active obligation to go ahead and burn my chametz on Erev Pesach? Or is it just that if you happen to have chametz in your possession, you should get rid of it? But let's say I already got rid of everything beforehand, so I don't have to go ahead and buy an extra piece of chametz to go and burn. That's the suffix that the Minchas Chinuch has. And he argues that perhaps it's just a mitzvah b'sheva al taseh. Make sure that when Pesach comes in, you do not have any chametz there. It's not an active mitzvah that you have to burn anything. It's just a passive mitzvah to make sure that you don't have anything there once Pesach comes in. So here he writes as well, Nafkamina, what's the difference whether you assume it's a mitzvah, b'kum v'aseh, or b'sheva al taseh? Who cares? Either way, first day of Pesach, you better make sure you have no chametz in the house. Says the Minchas Chinuch, would make a major difference. Major difference is if you need kavana or not. He says, if you assume it's just a passive mitzvah, ain't sriches kavana. Even though we assume it's a sriches kavana, but still he assumes that when it's a passive mitzvah saseh, like mitzvah of tashbisa or anything like that, we would assume that kavana is not necessary. So again, according to the Bnei Yisachar's understanding, that even by a lo saseh b'sheva al taseh, he assumes the only time he can violate is when you have kavana leviolation. So then of course he would assume that by a mitzvah, even if it's a mitzvah b'sheva al taseh, right, you cannot assume like the Minchas Chinuch if you learn like the Bnei Yisachar. Is anyone following what I'm saying? If you learn like the Bnei Yisachar, this Minchas Chinuch makes no sense. The whole assumption of the Minchas Chinuch is one assumption, but the Bnei Yisachar is obviously not assuming that way, which I don't know why the Bnei Yisachar doesn't weigh in on, but let's say, take for example, we have a mitzvah of Shvisas HaShabbos. You're not supposed to do malacha on Shabbos. So, do I have to sit there and think every moment of Shabbos? I'm not doing malacha because God commanded me not to do malacha. What do I really have to do that? Am I really supposed to do that? Or not? This is a major shayla, major discussion. These are isurim d'oraisa, these are mitzvahs d'oraisa. Some of them are b'sheva al taseh, some of them are b'kum v'aseh. We have to think about whether or not we have an obligation to do so, or whether we should assume that once it's b'sheva al taseh, kavana is not necessary at all. What about, let's just close, what about when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So we spoke about regular mitzvahs aseh, shofar, lulav, tefillin, all those things. Then we spoke about los aseh. Then we spoke about aseh, which is b'sheva al taseh, the middle category. What about Talmud Torah? Where does that fall into the discussion? So the Avnei Nezer has in his Akdama a discussion about that. And he writes, Iker mitzvahs liman ha-Torah liyos sas v'sameach u'mis'anig b'limudah. The main thrust of what Talmud Torah is all about is that a person should be sas v'sameach b'limudah, to enjoy the learning that we do. And the famous Avnei Nezer writes that who could ever say the mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu on Talmud Torah? It's not true. Lehenes v'lehenes, we are supposed to have hana when we learn Torah. That's what Torah is all about. He goes even a step further and he says, if the Torah tells us that we should have hana when we learn Torah, then certainly when we're mechadish chidushet Torah, we should have even more hana, because that's even a greater revelation of Torah. But either way, the Egle Tal writes that when a person has that perspective on liman Torah, that the mitzvah is not just to shake the lulav, not just to eat the matzah, but the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to enjoy the learning that we're doing, as divrei Torah nivla in bedam. If you have that perspective, the Torah will become an essence, it will become a part of you. And he argues there that basically the Rishonim tell us in other contexts that whenever you have a mitzvah which is made lehanos v'lehanos, there is no reason for a person to have kavana, because we assume you're obviously having kavana, you're having hana. That's part of the activity, that's part of what you're doing. So therefore he says, when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, perhaps there would be no reason for us to go ahead and have explicit kavana to be yotza the mitzvah, because since we're having hana anyway, that's as if we're having kavana. There is one of the Achronim writes something fascinating. The Dvar Avram has a very gevaldika tshuva where he points out about Talmud Torah. Listen what he says. And he gives a little bit of a different explanation than the Avnei Nezer, but I think it's a very Yesodos to go on, and it plays into what we were talking about here. The Efshur Da'ad Kan Lo Amrinan Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. When do we assume that the principle applies in Mitzvah Srichas Kavana? That's only B'mitzvah She'eina Kavua Tamid. Very Yesodistic, very fundamental shot that he's giving here. The only time we assume that our Gemara says Mitzvah Srichas Kavana is by something that is eino kavua tamid, by something that doesn't always, it's not a constant mitzvah. For example, he says, matzah. You have an obligation to eat a kazayis of matzah on Leila Seder. You have an obligation to shake the lulav once on the holiday of Sukkot. So, that's not something you have to do all the time. Therefore, he says, in order to be mevarer, in order to make sure that it's noticeable, it's recognizable, that now I'm performing my mitzvah, I better make sure that I go ahead and have kavana. Hilkach, he says, Kivan she'ein ha'maisa mitzvah tamid u'viyado levara, since I can eat matzah all day long, but that's not really my mitzvah. I can eat matzah all year long, but that's not going to be my mitzvah. Therefore, you have to show that you're performing the mitzvah by having kavana as you're doing it. However, he says, avol mitzvah she kavua la'olam, but when you have a mitzvah that applies every moment of every day, all the time, she'maisa zu havi tamid mitzvah ve'ein rishus, every moment that I go ahead and perform this act, I'm involved in a mitzvah. For example, he says, Talmud Torah, or Tzitzis, or Tfilin Vidomehem, anything like Talmud Torah. Any moment that you pick up a sefer, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You can't say, well, no, you only fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you're in the Beis Medrash, but when you're home and you pick up a sefer, you're not? No, that's not true. You're always fulfilling a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Tfilin, anytime you wear the tfilin, you're performing a mitzvah. It's not like the shofar, where you have an obligation to blow once. It's not like lulav, where you have an obligation once on the holiday of Sukkot. It's not like any of these other mitzvahs. Therefore, he says, in a case like that, Kuli Amamada de Ein Srichas Kavana. Tremendous Chiddush. He says everybody would agree in a mitzvah that's a mitzvah tmidis, a mitzvah that applies at all times and at all and in all scenarios in a case like that, everybody would agree that mitzvah Ein Srichas Kavana, because he suggests the only reason why we need mitzvah Srichas Kavana is to separate and say the activity that I'm doing now on Sukkot, I'm holding Dalaminim, I'm not just bringing home flowers for Yantif. No. Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, because I want God to know that what I'm doing right now is the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. But when you have a mitzvah like Talmud Torah, which applies every moment of every day of our lives, then in a case like that, you don't need to have Kavana while you're doing it, because it's obvious. The moment you pick up a sefer, you're performing the mitzvah. You don't have to have Kavana for that, it's clear. Now, if you assume like that, that this Chiddush is correct, then when it comes to the discussion of having Kavana by violating a losaseh, maybe that would be a factor as well. Because a losaseh is something that applies every moment of every day of everybody's lives. So maybe that should be the same argument. You don't have to have kavana when you're violating a losaseh, or when you're not violating a losaseh. You don't have to have kavana that right now I'm performing the mitzvah Hashem by not violating the Avera. Of course, if you would violate the Avera at any moment of any day of any time, you would be in violation of the Avera. It would be clear. So you don't have to go ahead and have kavana that now I'm not violating the Avera because I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam and because mitzvah Srichas Kavana. No. Perhaps according to this suggestion of the Dvar Avram, that would play into the discussion by a Los Haseh as well, and maybe there's what to argue with the assumption that the Bnei Yisachar made in the Derech Pekudecha. Okay.